Right, first of all, I'm going to introduce myself, Leslie Badger. Not from this part of the world at all, by any stretch of the imagination. From Tandragee, but not born in bed, born and bred in Tandragee. Originally from between Cookstown and Dungannon. It's from down that part of the world. How do you pronounce your ones up here? Are you one or a one? Or a one?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I married my wife. She's from Armagh. And where, when I met my wife, I would have pronounced my ones as a wan, so would have, and it took an awful hand out of me, so they did. So now I pronounce my ones as a one. So that joke has stopped. So there you are. It just lets you see who I am and where I'm from. As I said, from the Cookstown Dungannon part of the world, brought up in a Presbyterian background. Sent along to church, sent along to Sunday school, sent along to all the various youth organisations and from there, but mum and dad and family, other family members were not saved people. But I was sent faithfully along, so it was. I'm the eldest of five boys in my house and the youngest is about 7 years younger than I am, so we come in a very short space of time. I have another brother, Richard Badger. Some of you may know him. He belongs to Cookstown Free Church. He has a cafe in Cookstown, and he would holiday quite a bit up around the north coast, and he comes along to Coleraine Free Church quite a bit. I have been here a few times before. I come up here every year for our convention, Holiday Bible Week, which is at Portrush Presbyterian Church. We take over the church for the week, and we bring our own speakers in, and we then have the wider family of the Christian Police Association, and it's open to everyone to come along and to join us for a week of Bible ministry in the church itself. So that's where the connections lie there. Joined the police in 1993, 4th of January. It's just a bit over 17 years done. So I have joined the full-time reserve at that time. From then, I went into the regular service in 1998. And from that, in 2004, I was promoted as a sergeant into Portadown. I spent a year in Portadown, spent a year in Brownlow Police Station, which is the groovy, fancy name for Craigavon. I'm sure everybody has heard of Craigavon. I spent a year in Craigavon, which is a very active area for policing. And then from Craigavon, I spent a further 2 years in Lurgan Police Station. And remaining within Lurgan Police Station, then I was promoted to the rank of an inspector. So that's where I am to this present day as an inspector. And response policing, which basically means a uniform officer on the ground. So that's my role and my title. But taking me back a little bit, as I said, I went to church and Sunday school, local Presbyterian church. It's in New Mills, County Tyrone. And from that, at 17 years of age, I was mightily convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I just praise God to this day that there was godly Sunday school teachers there to lead young folk, and to plant the seed in one's heart at that time. So at 17 years of age, I wasn't at any mission, I wasn't any service, but I just got at home, I just come under a mighty conviction of the Holy Spirit. And at 17, I got saved. And on a cold January night, that's what I can remember. And God has walked with me since, in various situations, and in various trials of life as well. And give me a godly wife, and has given me four children as well. So I have a busy household and a godly household. So from there, if you have your Bibles with you, a few readings. First one being from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. I'm just going to turn this round a little bit here. So I'm going to bring a short message just here at the start, and it's a few biblical references which we use in the Christian Police Association to policing. And I just want you to follow me through it. So Romans 13, verses 1 to 5. And as I read this, you'd be thinking, we're awful hard and sore boys, but bear with us. Commencing verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Then I want you to go across to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy in chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's where we take our biblical references for the Christian Police Association. And there's pointers there that we are ordained in a role within civic policing within the province and within any civilised nation. We are there to bring the rule of the law to the land. However, as the days we're now living in, we can see that many do not obey such laws. And we also see a government which is now in power, which has brought in laws which are contrary to God's word. And that is also reflected in policing as well. There are laws there, and even for Christian police officers, that we have to be careful of as well. And that's about witnessing within our respective police stations. Because of the respect and diversity that we now have and the legislation that goes along with that. Within many of our police stations in Northern Ireland now, and within the mainland UK, we have a lot of same-sex relationship officers. So one must be careful, but at the same time, we still have those opportunities to witness in these days. And I'd ask you for your prayers for officers that do witness, because we do have those opportunities. We do get those one-to-ones with folk. There's people who do listen to us, and there's people who are witness to daily in our walk with the Lord. But there are many who have no time nor thought for Christ. Many young men and young women who are good folk, but not saved. But we leave those times with the Lord, that he would create an anxious thought within their hearts on one day to deal with them in his way. But saying that, we do have many young men that have got saved and come into the Christian police circle. I've mentioned there earlier, I was standing outside the door, a young police officer, a lady constable down in Kilkeel Police Station. She's a probationary police constable. She's just back with CEF from Children Outreach work in Zimbabwe. We have another officer, probationary officer, constable, Stephen McGarry. Stephen worked with the Faith Mission for a couple of years. Stephen himself has been out in China and has been in Vietnam. He has now joined the police service. He's now going again on all our missionary outreaches with connections with the Free Church. We have all our officers as well have been with Open Doors out to China and like places, bringing the word of the Lord to all parts of the world. In your daily devotions,
at home or wherever you find yourselves to be.
I would ask you to pray for those who are in charge of the rule of law in this land. I would also ask for those who are in government that God would put the right people into the right places. And that's what we seek in day and daily. Now, a lot of people go by their daily business and they do not know who is their main people in the higher echelons of power. But what I can say, our last district commander for each district, which is here, Coleraine, was a guy by the name of Alan McCrum. Now, I don't know if anyone has come across Alan McCrum, if he's the chief superintendent. Well, Alan worships in Tandragee Free Church as well. So he does. And he's also a saved guy. So you just never know the circles that you'll be moving in at times. We do have many senior serving police officers who do work within the police service. And we have chief inspectors, myself as an inspector, pushing it right up through the organisation of superintendents. Sam Donaldson, who's a temporary superintendent in Londonderry at the moment. Sam's out from the Ballymoney, part of the world, saved guy. So he is. So he's very active within the Christian Police Association as well. But pray for those men at all levels, right from the chief constable, right down to the constable on the ground, because we all have influences in society today. And pray for wisdom and pray for the guidance of those officers on the ground. And there's many times we speak to people, whether they're victims of crimes, whether they're offenders, that we can and do witness to them. And I have done it many a time. And I always carry, when I'm out on the ground in the back of my notebook, is gospel tracts, because of always those opportunities just to hand someone a gospel tract. And I have, from sex offenders to victims of crime, of family disputes, I've been there. But I'll explain a little bit later in relation to that. Going there to the rule of law in the land, there is many laws that we have to be careful of ourselves. In the meantime, as police officers, we are not exempt from the law as well. And we do deal with police officers who happen to fall foul of it. And they're treated no differently than anyone else. So they are. But in your mind and in your quiet times, pray for the rulers of the land. Pray for those who sit in Stormont. Pray for those who sit in 10 Downing Street and in the Houses of Parliament, that they bring true and righteous laws back into this land again. So they do. And with that, we would see a revival upon this land. We deal with many people who are involved with the drugs and alcohol. We saw a revival in this land. Nothing in social services can do, nothing that the medical profession can do, and nothing that the police profession can do can solve those problems. It's a spiritual problem. And if we had revival upon this land, the public houses would close, fast and furious. I've read little bits about the 1859 revival there, where the landlords got saved. And I heard of other ones, there was no business, and the public house closed down. That brings so much strife into families and homes in themselves. So what I'm going to go here through now is going to explain a little bit about the Christian Police Association. And I'll just tidy up at the end with a few visual things that we as police officers find ourselves doing day and daily in our life cycles. Some of our days are quite boring. Some of our days are very challenging. And challenging to the respect where it tests you mentally, it tests you physically, and it tests your legal knowledge as well. Because we have to work within the box as such. A lot of people who we deal with in the criminal fraternity, they can do whatever they want, so they can. And they do that, but we have to work within the legislation framework that's available to us. But saying that, we deal with quite a few terrorist type incidents in the Lurgan area. And on the back of that, what we do find is it shines through when they hear the talk through the offices and through the various sections in the police station. I'm knowing that Christ is with me. I'm going to go out and deal with a lot of those situations. And some of the other guys that do the same type of work wonder who's looking after them. But it says, even if I don't say anything, my testimony still carries with me. So it does
throughout the police station. So everybody's watching, everybody's looking and seeing how your behaviour is, and see if you're living up to the Christian life cycle and to putting your flag to the mast. So I'm just going to move on, and hopefully I'm going to take a seat so I don't block anyone's view, and hopefully everyone will have a good view of what I see. And once I'm finished, you can ask me some questions or talk to me afterwards. How long have I got, Colin?
10 o'clock.
That's right. Okay. As a police officer, I like to keep in folk. So just let you know that. But hopefully I'll scan through this quite quickly. And I'll give you a few live situations which I've dealt with over the years as a police officer. Hit the wrong button. What's going to happen? Right. It was set up with that lady there, Catherine Gurney, in 1883. Set up a police convalescent homes around the UK. We have a few of those around the UK at the moment. So we have very much pushed out into the main organisation of the police. But we do have police chaplains that go around them. The convalescent homes for officers that are injured, and officers from here go along to them, and mostly based in England and Scotland. Support and maintain Christian police officers and support staff in their work and witness, and is non-denominational. Does not seek to be a substitute for a church or a staff association, but to complement them. As police officers work shifts, and I don't get out to my Sabbath day services every Sunday, between night shifts, evening shifts, early shifts, and all types of shifts, and shifts I'm brought into to cover when other people are off. We have a branch in most police forces throughout the UK and around the world. It's in Bedford, the headquarters in England, which is our main headquarter base. There's no obligation to attend meetings, nor is our membership free or a fee. Most people come along because of just the fellowship that's involved, and people of like mind come along too as well. Voluntary giving, that's how we're supported. We're open to all ranks and support staff and their grades, and are well represented at each level. Now, what I can comment there on voluntary giving, the Chief Constable now has given us £2,000 per year to support our work within the organisation. That wasn't so until about 3 years ago, because CPA was resisted greatly in various aspects of policing, and within a headquarter level as well. That has been broken down now, the resistance against that, and now we get this funding as well. CPA has policies and strategies to support its five principles of fellowship, ethical values, proclamation, organisation and finance. The National Council of CPA meets quarterly to develop these principles. Now, that council meets in England. Now, we do the English branches, they look after themselves. Our own Northern Ireland branch, we sit here separate, sort of slightly outside that box, and we look after our own finances, and we look after all those principles there with it. Everett Irons, who's a constable over in Londonderry, he is the branch leader. There is Martin Reid, who's the secretary, and we have myself then as the editor of the Police magazine. So we have a good broad range of between Baptist, Open Brown, and Free Presbyterian now within the organisation, and Presbyterian churches itself. So we have a good flow of people, but they're all saved folk, so they are within the organisation in itself. We offer New Testaments to students. When I joined, and the same with Colin, possibly when he joined as well, CPA would have come in to the training centre in Garnival. You'd have got a New Testament Psalms pocket Bible, and have one on display out in the foyer of the church there. Everyone would have got those. We can't do that now because of the political correctness of the day, but we still make them available for anyone who wants them. The Holiday Bible Week I've already mentioned, which is in Portrush here in August. This year's from the 7th of August to the 13th, I believe. And that's where we all come and gather up, go to Portrush, all come to Portrush for the week, and that's an excellent week for ministry. for everybody taking that time out to go to it. Mornings and evenings we have there. Annual fellowship weekend and Christmas meal. Fellowship weekend's held down in Newcastle in County Down. This year our speaker was Mr. Brian Ray, who's the acting head of the policing board and sits in Belfast. A very genuine, saved Christian guy, and belongs to an Open Brian background as well. Brian gave us testimony, and he got saved at one of Reverend Paisley's rallies many, many years ago. I think it was about 1967. So there's free Presbyterian influence in his life as well. So there is. Publish a newsletter every 3 months. That's my job. I've got that there at the last time round of our last annual general meeting. We meet in a number of different ways, a variety of forums to provide opportunity for fellowship, support and social interaction. In the Fermanagh zone and in the Lurgan and Portadown zone, we meet on a monthly basis. And that's coming a time together for fellowship, for prayer and for praise. Other parts around the countryside, they just haven't got those active branches at this time. So that's what we have there. Newcastle is our main point, and Portrush, and then we have those two active zones still going in the Portadown and Fermanagh areas. Our purpose there, to glorify Jesus Christ in the police service. Our mission, to encourage and support Christians in the police service. And in doing that, it's only a short time ago we were able to hold services within police stations. And in Lisnashara, which is our main administrative centre for the police service, we have prayer meetings there twice a month. Not what would have happened a number of years ago. So we have within a big administrative centre there with Christian police officers and Christian support staff, they come together twice a month. They book one of the main dining rooms and have a prayer meeting there on their lunch break. We also act to build bridges between the Christian community and the police. A lot of my guys that I work with haven't had time or thought for anything to do with the church or any church connections. That's left to me to do a lot of that work. And I do make a good use of it, because we can get a lot of information through from church communities and helping us out. And I get quite a few phone calls at home about various issues going on. But we're working on that at the moment, so we are, to get that up and going more so in Northern Ireland. Our vision there is to see an active growing branch of CPA in every police service in the UK. That is well underway. So it is. We have our active branch here in the province, but not every branch in the mainland UK has an active branch. But there's quite a few now. The ball is in motion to get that going, and that is happening. Witnessing the colleagues and those whom we serve to come to know Jesus Christ personally. We do. Sometimes there's great opportunities when we're in police car with guys to witness. But sometimes, not even by speaking, but just, you know, people knowing. You know, watch your behaviour, watch your mannerism, how you deal with folk. And that is a witness in itself, so it is. Guys would have watched me when I went to a lot of, you know, what we call sudden deaths. And they see how you treat the family and treat the folks within the family. And they always love to come with me because, you know, sometimes people are very well suited. You know, when you go into a home, and even there's no crime, there's nothing else, we're duty bound to the coroner to visit those situations and those scenes. And it's a traumatic time for families. And when you see a uniformed police officer coming to your door, what's the first thing people often think? You know, think something has happened here, something that's out of the ordinary. So the guys used to love me when I was about, because I could handle this fairly well. Police and churches working together in every community to reduce crime and improve the quality of life. At the moment in England, we have street pastors up and going. So we have, and there's a lot of the Baptist Church is very actively involved in that end of it, and smaller denominational churches in England. That's having a positive impact on the nightlife economy in various areas of England and Scotland. So that's a work in action, and it will eventually roll out here. That's just our aims. Promote and foster the fellowship of Christians in the police service in that unity which is enjoyed by those who are born again by the Spirit of God. To demonstrate the relationship to God and a concern for righteousness both on and off duty. to obey Christ in proclaiming his gospel, especially to members of the police service, that they might be brought to know him personally. It's a field, it's a mission field as well, because you're dealing with young folk nowadays, and it's the same for any church, and they're doing the outreach work. Young folk have never went to church, coming from single parent families, and we're finding that more and more now within the police service. More young people are coming into us now, and they've been brought up in single parent families and never knew their dad. And so it's a great mission outreach as well. So it is. And we get in there early when young guys come into the training centre. They get an information leaflet on the Christian Police Association, so they know that we are there and we're in the background. These are the things I ask you to pray for within the police service. Thankfully, it is rare that many of us require the direct help of the police. That includes me. When I'm at home, if the police come into my door, I'm sort of thinking, what have I done? Or what's happening here? Because of this, you may not know how or what to pray for. The following prayer points give us some guidance and some examples. Officers and patrol, that would build confidence with the public, that to have wisdom and safety in all situations. For those engaged in public order and other potentially violent situations, or when a wrong decision could lead to an escalation of a difficult situation. That happens. We're all human. So we are, and it does happen. Wisdom and safety in all situations as well. One word spoken, and it just might be that wrong word, and you mean no offence by it, but the guy or the people you're speaking to, ooh, up in your face. So they are. And it can happen. The wrong decision made about how to deal with something, whether to arrest or not to arrest, or take someone out of a situation or not. And you need to be very mindful of those things. But we always go back and try and reclaim that ground if we can do that. Senior police officers, God would guide them as liaise with politicians and community leaders. For guidance, they formulate policy and make strategic decisions, and that they might have concern for officers and staff of all ranks. Senior police officers are the guys like your area commanders, your district commanders, and those who push the policy forward and make all those relevant decisions. What's best suitable for one area may not be suitable for another area. That is what we're looking at there. We do have a lot of community contact. You know, if you're speaking to a councillor or you're speaking to an MLA, they'll not want to come through to the desk and speak to the officer in the desk who's a constable. The first thing they ask for, they want to speak to the inspector, they want to speak to the chief inspector. And you're getting it down the ear, down the phone here, so we are. And sometimes some of them are not very gracious with you either, you know, for members who are elected into the role that they're doing. But you take it in the chin, you go on, you deal with it, and you carry on. So you do. So, but those are examples there for praying for your police service. There. And I'll go through a few live examples of situations like that. Families of police officers, that they might know the peace when their loved ones are on duty, that they might have understanding when those they love are under stress. Can't be stressful at times. My wife says I'm grumpy, so she does. That's probably after night shifts, and I don't sleep well during the daytime. So she does, and the children say the same. So they do. And it does. Times I come home, I find it hard just to get wound down a wee bit because you're maybe dealing with a situation which is a fair bit of potential for going the wrong way on you. When you're sort of thinking, how we'll deal with this and how we're going to pan this one out or how we're going to solve it or whatever the case may be. The one there at the top, well, they may know peace when their loved ones are on duty. You just never know what you're going to walk into when you're out doing your day's work. I said a lot of the days are uneventful, you just normal days work for you, but sometimes things do go wrong. We do get guys get their legs broke, you know, if they're involved in a violent arrest situation, or get their arms broke, or are involved in a road traffic collision, or get rammed. It happens quite a bit, so it does. And especially happens quite a bit in around Lurgan and Craigavon area, which I police. Officers suffering from stress. The guys have to come to me of sudden death, you know. And I said that because there's ways of speaking to folk, you know, who are going through that traumatic experience. Accidents, the victims of violent crime. Like, we go to quite a few collisions, you know, and my role as an inspector is a senior investigating officer. And when I'm pulled into something like that, you're dealing with something which is a potential fatal collision, or it is a fatal. So it is. So that's, again, putting you into that role with dealing with collisions. And some of the scenes we go out to, they're not pleasant to look at. And some of them are quite horrific. Victims of violent crime as well. We get quite a few of those there, dealing with the victims. 9 times out of 10, the ambulance is there, and they've got the victim sorted out, and we go and do the sweep up. And when you go and look at various crime scenes, you know, they're scary enough, but sometimes they're not. We're in there to get them patched up and get them sorted out until the paramedic arrives there on those types of situation. Integrity to resist corruption. Believe it or not, that happens. A few years ago, an officer had a drink driver in, and a quite influential guy he was too. Very prominent car sales dealer. And to make the thing go away, a new car was offered. So it was. It happens. It happens there. So pray for the integrity of our police officers there too. Most of the people we come in contact with, is the next point there, are of a criminal disposition. And boys, they know to get at you at times. So they do. And try and poke out those weak spots or something just to get you just a wee spark, just to go on there at times. Because most of the folk we're coming in there, and they completely keep challenging in relation to, is this a lawful arrest? Are you lawfully doing this? And everything else, you know. Always trying to put that wee element of doubt in your mind. Sometimes they try and pay you off as well. But through contact with those of a criminal disposition, quite a bit of that in my role and what I've done in the past. Those guys there, in the Craigavon area, it was a crime-ridden hole, maybe for want of a better word. It was really challenging from a policing perspective. And we brought all those guys before the courts, and the courts were putting them into prison. But prison wasn't correcting them. What was getting them onto radar was, and keeping that steadier line, was community service. They had to go out and work. So the magistrate had them with community service orders. So it was. And the crime in Craigavon has come right down, so it has. But those are reminders. So you have to play them at their own game at times. Community service, never like going out working. So because they had to get up early in the morning, go out and do their work. So they had. Through temptation, when in a position of trust, ability to relax off duty. That's hard to do at times. Because now I've been home, I get phone calls. Even on rest days, there I get a lot of phone calls. We're the same as anybody else. We're human beings, need to rest. For others to recognise that officers have a life to lead outside the police service as well. That of resting after injury, they would have peace and healing. That last wee bit, peace and healing and injury. I've been blessed. I've never had to be off work with an injury. Plenty of violent situations have been in, but a hand has never been laid on me. That has put me off work with an injury and duty. Our support staff also need support in often stressful roles, and the roles that they perform in support of their police colleagues, that's the administration that goes along with our work, awful amount of it. So there is very, very administratively based with paperwork. And pray for the Christian Police Association members. That's our emblem that we work with. That's the boy at the helm of the whole organisation now, is Matt Baggett. He has raised our profile within the United Kingdom big time, so he has. Now, we've had plenty of attack within the organisation about Matt Baggett coming, but the man instrumental in bringing Matt Baggett here was Brian Ray, who is the acting chair of the policing board of the Minnesota in Belfast. So there's a big Christian influence was there. And believe it or not, Sinn Féin even agreed to have Matt Baggett on board because of his community policing background. That's how our province is carved up into policing areas. As you can see, I work in the Orange Counties at the bottom there. So I do. E-District is there. You can see for Cool Rains patch there is each district is the grey area up at the top there. E-District, Craigavon is the patch I work on. I'm also responsible for Banbridge when I'm on shift.
We carve the district into two patches. Armagh and Urien Mourne look after their side, and Craigavon and Banbridge look after their own side. But on the night shift, I'll cover the whole of what we call E district. So I'll cover Craigavon, Banbridge, Armagh, Urien Mourne. It would be the same for the duty inspector in a night shift in H district. He'll cover from Larne, or she will cover from Larne, Coleraine, Ballymoney, Moyle, Ballymena. That's a big patch for somebody in a night shift, so it is. So it is. So, and then we have our Belfast districts up here, A and B district here in Belfast. Alan McCrum, who's just left us here, is the district commander up in Coleraine. He's going to B district, South Belfast. That's where he's going now. So that's how our part of the world is carved up. In my junior service as a police officer, I ended up in Fermanagh, in F district, and eventually made it up round and back into the Craigavon area, serving in Dungannon and Moy, and the Killyland areas and the Clocker Valley. So quite a few pointers. That's just a bit of a close-up of our patch there. Craigavon's not a big patch, but because we have three big towns there, which is Lurgan, which is Portadown, and Craigavon, as luck was on there. Banbridge is known, it's known more so for its animal cruelty, welfare of animals. We detained a couple of lemurs there, was it 3 or 4 weeks ago? I've made the headlines, the lemurs, endangered animals. A guy from Ballymena was trying to flog them around Banbridge, so he was. So we detained a couple of lemurs out of that one, and a guy in the cells as well. There's a spoof one. Imagine if it that there going down the countryside. Yeah, that would cause a few hackles, wouldn't it? In some parts of our community. So that's a spoof one. That's not really a police lantern, where that somebody has picked that one off the internet. So it is. So there we are. Everybody would love to get a ride in that one, wouldn't they? Right. That's the McDater and the McDade murder. That was a big investigation in this part of the world. I'm sure you'd all agree with that one. That one there was declared a critical incident by the Deputy Chief Constable because of the impact on the community that crime had. And that's still ongoing at the moment. If you keep a tight eye or ear to the news there, like, that's still ongoing. There's a guy there charged just during the week in relation to that murder. So these guys here in the white suits, they're probably a search team in there, searching for forensic evidence. So they are. And then there's our cordon points. And our police officers there doing their outer cordon duty. That's another murder investigation there. That's the Stevie Carr murder in Craigavon that we had last March. There. That was big challenges in my patch, so it was. There, those guys there again would be search team guys and forensic scientists in there on that murder investigation. That created a lot of ill feeling as well within the local community, so it did, and that had big challenges for policing in the Craigavon patch alone, and a very cruel murder. On the relation to that murder investigation, what we had there. A lady had her windows broken. The officers on the ground had checked the call as best they could, doing the call back on that one. We let a call soak for a little while. We let that call soak for about over an hour before we went anywhere near it. But at the end of the day, there was a murder out of that one there. So that was, they were lying in wait just for the guy coming on a soft skin vehicle, because there's armoured vehicles went to that one as well and picked out the soft skin vehicle, which was just an unarmoured car, and they just shot through the back window. And they just took the Stevie Carr out, who was the driver of that police car. That's what we encounter quite a bit in around the Lurgan area, but that's nothing new to Belfast or anywhere else you'd find yourselves. There's scenes like that there. And that's regular. Imagine sitting on a Land Rover like that there. And if you can see there, you can see a big hole in the bonnet of the vehicle. And that's how ferocious some of the riders are with you. And it is scary, and very, very scary at that. So that vehicle has been burnt the whole way up, round and through. And if you're ever sitting in a Land Rover, and a riotous situation, which I have found myself in on numerous occasions. It is scary. It gets your adrenaline going. But I'm glad that these wagons here are armoured, because they take a lot of flak. But they only can take so much at the same time. That's my patch. That's Lurgan. And that's what we encounter fairly regular down in the Lurgan patch. Now, in these crews here, police officers. But there's also a sprinkling of police officers within crews as well. So just be mindful, you know, when you see situations like this here and you see the police going in to deal with it, that there will be new Christian police officers in the background there somewhere. So they would do. That's Lurgan again. You can see there, you can see the railway warning lights there. If you're ever travel on the Dublin line, you're ever going for a break to Dublin on the Enterprise and you find the train stopped at Lisburn, that's probably my fault, because usually put an alert in the line and I'm there. I have to get the train stopped, and so you have to be bussed around the countryside then to get to Newry, and they connect you then on down. So that's what happens quite a bit there. And you can see the lady in the pink coat, the far side. I often wonder, you see some people in the middle of these riotous situations, they're standing with their hands in their pockets, and that lady there is a mother. Now, I don't know why she's out supporting her son or out trying to see where he is, but one wonders. Just Lurgan again. Hard to identify these guys, because we'd push evidence gathering teams in here, guys, to video all this stuff. And what we are looking for is descriptions and clothing, because we have got some good hits out of descriptions and clothing, even from heli tellies. We talk about the helicopter up in the air and follow them into houses. Craig Avon. That's when Mr. Duffy is arrested there for the Mazarine Barracks murders. That was the kickback from that there. And believe it or not, there's a wee guy going for his bottle of milk. Mum sent him out. We get him sorted out. But that happens. Hijack quite a few vehicles in that part of the world. There's one there I dealt with. I was a duty inspector on that night for the whole of E District, and was called out to that one there. From the front, as you can see, doesn't look too bad, the impact damage there. That's where the four officers had died in that collision. Four police officers, two full-time officers, two part-time police officers. One of those officers was saved, Kenny Irvine. His body recovery team went in and extracted those guys from the vehicles. And one of them was a detective from Belfast. And the detective from Belfast was so touched by it. He was saved. He got saved. He came under a real conviction of the Holy Spirit. And from that, there was a life saved as well by way of through the Holy Spirit. There's the back of the vehicle. Don't know if you can see it, maybe not well there. There's not much of it left, so there's not. But as I said, I was the duty inspector on that night, and I was down at that scene. And it was a certain eeriness and quietness about it as well. So there was. So that's the various things that we as police officers deal with. This is just a collision there. And you see a lot of people get involved with collisions there. You can see the white sheet, one thing and another. When you have a fatal road traffic collision, that's where I step in as a senior investigating officer. We'll have a sergeant who'll investigate, and I'll oversee the sergeant investigating that. So I'll assist the sergeant who'll be involved in the active investigation. And what my role will come in there is do the interview plans with him, do the various lines of inquiry we have to do, or the forensic strategy that has to be done on that, whether it's seizing the vehicles, taking them for examination, and looking at the road surfaces, calling forensic scientists as well to establish what caused the collision. Majority of the collisions that we deal with here are collisions which are driver error and there's no one else involved. And really what we do is prepare the court file for the coroner. But there is a few occasions where you'll deal that there is a guilty party. Someone has made a mistake or is a drink driver or something, and have caused the collision, has taken the life of someone else. And that's where we deal then with the whole investigative strategy then. So it is. That's just all our collisions that have picked up there from all our scenes. This tripod you see on our right,
We have guys called mappers within the organisation. They come out and do a very detailed 3D map for you for the crime scene that we're dealing with. Because everything we deal with here in a fatal road traffic collision, we treat it as a crime scene. So we do. So we put our cording points and all in there. And we'll close roads for quite some time until we get all the evidence that we need. Another part of our role is doing all the van parades. That's kicking off again. Do quite a few of the van parades. A lot of the wee band parades we're doing now, little country ones, you know, in the 12th morning and things like that there, we don't go near them anymore. Because there's no need, there's no big issue there with them. It's the more contentious ones now we focus and deal with. That's just Lurgan Police Station. I done a CPA meeting a few weeks ago outside Portadown, and unknown to me, that the lady had asked me along to take that meeting. Her first husband is the second name on the roll of honour there. So it just shows you never know what circle you're in, and you could be dealing with someone, and that's what we have. So that's the Lurgan Police Station roll of honour that we have there. There's 14 names there at the minute, and with, next month then Stevie Carl's name will go on to that as well. As you can still see, scripture, Holy Scriptures at the bottom, and we have the RUC crest. And there's a little plaque to the right hand side of the Roll of Honour. That's a civilian employee of Lurgan that was murdered as well. Custody Suite in Lurgan Police Station. This is where we book everybody into when they come into the police station. You see all the languages are there to welcome folk in. That's our hatch for processing our prisoners. That's just a view of the cells. Don't know if you can see that well or not, but it's basically like a prison. That's what those are, all prison doors, the cells and the big heavy keys and all. That's the cell comforts that you have. So we, as you see, our accommodation that we offer at the police station is very upmarket. So it is. 4-star. And if you want to, you can get an all-day breakfast out of the freezer. We'll ding it in the microwave for you. Everything in the police station, and most of them are going in this direction now, are all recorded in CCTV and in audio. That saves a lot of complaints against the police now. A lot of people are being released from custody, going straight to the ombudsman office, saying they're beat up on the police stations, allegedly. All the ombudsman has to come down, do now, is come down, download the CCTV footage, have a look at it, that's rubbish, away. Complaint denied, and that's it. So and that does choke a lot of our time up with police officers being interviewed. When you're in the cell and you have nothing much to read, we have this here in the wall for you. So we have. We can. And where you'll read that is when you kneel in the cell at night to say your prayers and you lift your eyes towards heaven. That's on the roof. So it is. So when you lie down on your pillow in the cell, that's the last thing you'll read before you go to sleep. That's if you want to go to sleep, that is. That's just interview rooms. TV there for video evidence that we'd have. Just another angle from it. Police officers would sit here beside our tape machines. Suspect and assister would sit to the other side, and sometimes you'd appropriate adults as well, just sitting out of view there. So that's really about it on the slide. Just a few wee bits and pieces more on that. There's quite a bit to take in there. So there is. On that. But what I would say to you, folk, remember your local police officers who are out on the ground there. And there may be someone who you're connected with, maybe friends or family or whatever the case may be, but always be mindful that there's spiritual, there's a lot of them need a touch from the Lord and need to get saved. So they do. And a lot of them are lost, young men and young women, in these days. What does Coleraine Police do? Well, I've had a wee look at what Coleraine Police do. I went on to our website the other day. They've issued 486 tickets, and that's only a part of the stats I've got for this year alone. Out of those 486 tickets, 394 of those carry penalty points and £60 fines. Roads policing in the area have issued another 612, and 503 of those are all to do with fixed penalty notices. So that's usually those who are in no seatbelts, mobile phone use, or whatever the case may be.
for a total for each district is a half yearly return. And that's what covered Larne and the whole west, Ballymena, Ballymoney. 2,375 tickets have been issued by police, local police, and 1,945 of those were penalty points. Each district had recordable crimes now, as I was looking at for last year, had 11,171 recordable crime, that's crimes against people, on a property and the like. And 4,000 of those crimes were recorded in the Coleraine area. I looked at their collision rate for the province as well, and these were half-year return collisions that I looked at. 4,724, and out of the total casualties of that, for that half-year return, there was 7,404 casualties. For local police alone, for fixed penalty notice returns, 13,165, that's for Northern Ireland itself. And the roads policing, that's our traffic branch guys, issued 24,231. Tickets are a great device, and they do save a lot on officer administration. Police stations can be very, very busy at times. Some police stations more so than others. In my part of the world, April to June, this is just a few of the stats from last year, 33 cordons were terrorist incidents. Stop and search powers, would be stop and search people, was 3,400, and 3,300 vehicle searches. Searches under warrant, which were 9, were going to search people's homes. Request to have someone informed of serious crime suites, that's where people are going for terrorist type related offences, which was 9. And request for solicitors out of that was 33. So that's all just to do from the terrorism end of things. I'm just coming to an end here now. From the 1st of April 2009 to the 30th of September 2009, in our custody suites throughout Northern Ireland, 14,678 people had been through our custody suites. That's nearly 14,678 arrests on nearly a half-yearly return from that. And our Chief Constable says, and this is what he wants us to be the finest personal, professional and protective police service in the world. He asked a lot, but that's what he wants us to do. So that's my role within the Christian Police Association. I'm very mindful of the time. I don't want to push it any further. I have a lot of personal experiences that I can do. I can speak to folk afterwards. I don't want to eat into your time too much because I know folks, younger folks here, have other things to do, and there's people who go to work in the morning. As I've said, remember police service. As they go about their daily calls, remember to pray. Sometimes the old 999 calls are going on, the blue light runs. You know, bear in mind if you see that, we word of prayer for those guys, where what they're going to. It could be something which is very, very down to earth, you know, a road traffic collision, minor injury at the end of the day, but we don't know that until we get there. Or it could be something much, much more serious. I have stepped into the murder scenes. My last murder scene I stepped into was in November past. But we deal with it day and daily. What comes our way, you deal with it. You can't pick and choose what you deal with. So you can't. But remember all those things, to pray for your police officers, pray for those on the ground. If you're looking for inspiration, what you're looking to pray for those guys on the ground, look in your local newspapers. You'll see all the crime issues. You'll see the various areas where the officers have been injured in duty. Look at the TV, look at the websites. It's all there. And that's what brings my message to an end. Remember Romans 13. And remember 1 Timothy chapter 2. And that's all you have to do. It's just when you're praying for those who are in authority above us and ourselves, we go out and step into various homes. Just remember those folk. Remember the police officers dealing with, for wisdom and for their grace and how to deal with very, very, very various and varied situations. I'm just going to close here and a wee word of prayer, and then I'll ask Colin just to come up if you want to close anything there. Father in heaven, we do thank you this day. We thank you for your mercies and your grace upon us. And Father, is very mindful, Lord, is the word that was sung here tonight, Lord, and very relevant to myself. A sinner saved by grace. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the day, Lord, that you stepped into my life. And Lord, there's many like me, Lord. And Father, they go about, Lord, their day's work. They go about their daily duties. Wherever they find themselves to be, yet, Lord, they do not know the Saviour to love and to trust and to be reassured upon. Lord, many issues and our problems, O Lord, no matter what they are. Lord, there's drugs, there's alcohol abuse, there's so many different things. And Father in heaven, it's not what anything that social services or policing or statutory agencies can do, but Father, only but a Holy Spirit revival and that personal meeting with you. Oh Lord, I thank you, Father, tonight for giving me the opportunity to come along here. Thank you for those two wee bits of Bible's passages I brought before the people. Oh Lord, just as we come before you, Father, we just ask thee just to be in front of us day and daily in every step we take. And Lord, we just ask it in your name. Amen.